When his relatives heard that Jesus and his disciples returned home, they set out to seize him, for they said, "He is out of his mind." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. The sacred scriptures can offer frequent shocks of illumination, to borrow a phrase from my former teacher, Hugh Kenner. For many people reading this sentence, the shock can be extreme, for this is not the picture we cherish of the Holy Family. We desire to see only harmony. As we write micro-devotions like JMJ on our letters and emails, we wish for a Mary who understands fully who Jesus is, the Son of God, protecting him from a murderous world, which she had witnessed right after his death. And we wish for a Joseph, the wise and holy widower, who took this little dove under his protective wing and taught and nurtured her son Jesus, the God-man. But this is simply not the way it was. The story of Mary is one of simple and pure faith. Here was a girl of perhaps 15 sitting in a cave in Nazareth. I have knelt in that cave beside my bishop who silently blessed my rosary beads. She sat alone in this very quiet place and beheld an archangel. Now we who have lived after the period when angels have been depicted as Cupid figures may not realize how large and imposing an angel is. This is not a cute or domesticated little pet, but a fearsome creature, radiating power and dignity. He said, "Be not afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And when she was told that the Holy Spirit would overshadow her and that she would give birth to the Son of God, she listened closely. But we can well imagine that she was stunned and could barely hear, much less understand, what was being said. The Holy Spirit? What's that? Overshadow? What exactly does that involve? The Son of God? Son of God is a phrase that turns up in the scriptures repeatedly in Genesis, Deuteronomy, Job, and Wisdom, usually referring to angels. But Gabriel did not unlock the scriptures for Mary, nor could she realize that this moment in this cave was the turning point in all human history. Nor could Joseph understand the real meaning of his role as protector. The lot fell to him to accept this role. All that he knew, according to our best sources, was that Mary was holy and that God had chosen him to be her protector. When they stood together in the temple before Simeon, who did know what this child signified, St. Luke's Gospel reports, "And his mother and his father marveled at what was said about him." In other words, they were overwhelmed, stunned, dumbfounded, revealing that they had no idea who Jesus was. And they walked away in a state of not intellectual understanding, but astonishment. We might say it was a heart-expanding, but not mind-expanding experience. Later, when Jesus was found in the temple, he said, "How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" And the text reads, "They did not understand the saying which he spoke to them." They did not understand. It turns out that the Holy Family did not go forward in perfect harmony, nor did Joseph and Mary bear their life and death burdens with a perfect understanding of this holy mission. In fact, the case was nearly the opposite. They braved one harrowing experience after another. We remember Joseph being told, "Arise and walk to Egypt." Without understanding anything about this boy. Only that God had called them to do this, had chosen them, had trusted them to carry forward something that was important to God. Mary's words said it best from the beginning. "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." These are shimmering words, sacred words, that Catholics grew up hearing in Latin, "Fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum," sending chills up one's spine. And why does this happen? Even hearing about such moments is a transforming experience. It is our heart ringing as we draw closer and closer to our true relationship with God, the true purpose of our lives. Our hearts jump within us as surely as the infant St. John Baptist jumped within his mother's womb. I began this morning by citing the New American Bible, the work of my seminary professor, John J. Collins, designated the official Bible of the U.S. Roman Catholic Church. As he often does, Professor Collins speaks directly and boldly. His mother Mary and his stepbrothers attempted to seize him because they believed he was out of his mind. The Greek word, exeste, can certainly mean insane. The Revised Standard Version translates, as usual, quite literally. They thought Jesus was beside himself, going back to the root for this word, ekstasis, which means ek, out of. Think of our word external. And out of one's current position, stasis. The shrewd reader will wonder about the connection to our word, ecstasy, referring to a trance-like religious experience. You see, an out-of-our-body experience. But this mystical use of the related word would not occur in the ancient world until the mid-3rd century AD, when Longinus first used it. No, reading the Greek will not shed more light on this passage. Mary and his stepbrothers simply have come to lay hands on him, to restrain him, and to bring him home. I say Mary and his stepbrothers, where the Greek word says family, because in a later scene they will turn up asking for him outside a place where he is speaking, which we read this morning in the Gospel. His family conforms to the opinion of the best religious authorities around them, who assert in this same scene that Jesus is possessed. What we have depicted in our Gospel reading this morning is a crisis in faith. How many times have we been blessed by a holy moment and become filled with holy conviction, but then months or years later the memory fades and we ourselves fade in our conviction and purpose. The mind returns again and again, demanding explanations from the soul, which the soul cannot supply. For the soul has its own reasons, which reason cannot understand. And now, being under great pressure and feeling ashamed because respected religious men are mocking him, their instinct is to retreat to their home, taking their beloved Jesus with them. In his great classic, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis wrote, "A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse," unquote. You see, it is in the nature of faith to be pushed to the limit. Jesus pushes us on to the burning point of crisis, which, of course, whose root word is the cross. He is not a Son of God, but the Son of God. He and the Father are one. Who has seen him has in that same moment seen the Father. He is God. We must obey his commands, even eat his body and drink his blood, if that should be God's command. But our minds cry out, this is not acceptable. But you see, our minds do not matter. Human reason will not do. In this realm, human reason is no more able to understand God than a block of wood has capacity to receive a Wi-Fi signal. We read only this morning that one of the outcomes of the fall from paradise is that the serpent has bruised our head. The serpent has bruised our head, the mind we had in Eden, where we communed with God and conversed with God in the cool of the afternoon, is not the mind we possess today. All that remains for us is faith. And faith's only path is obedience. He has brought us to this crisis, to this battle between brain and soul, this war between mind and heart. He has planned it all. It was the path he planned for his adoptive father, for his stepbrothers, and for his mother, the blessed and glorious ever-Virgin Mary. He does not expect us to piece out every detail of this mystery. Indeed, his true identity would remain a secret during his life on earth. Biblical scholars call it the messianic secret, a mystery for us to enter with all our hearts. We can betray him. The mind can choose to betray him and ourselves. By giving human reason the upper hand and labeling him insane, will you betray me also? He asks to each and every one of us. But as we look into our hearts, we say to him, where else could we go, Lord? For you alone have the words of life and eternal life. And here we fall to our knees and say, behold the servant of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. This is the path blazed for us by our beloved Mary, the quiet woman, the woman wrapped in silence, who saw certain things, not often, but then locked them as precious in her heart and pondered them again and again. She was not perfect in her every action. She did not always do the right thing, but her heart and her conduct of life were right to the end. Today, she is known as the Queen of Heaven and Earth. Recall the holy moments that have been granted to you. Lock them in the sacred precincts of your heart, for they are precious. Again and again, think on these things. Because for such as this, there is mirth in heaven, and for this, the angels rejoice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.